This is the word of the Lord found in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 7 and 8. Deuteronomy chapter 31, 2 verses 7 and 8. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. I so much appreciate the worship that's already taken place, the truth that's been spoken, the fervent prayers heard and unheard. Appreciate the love that God's not only given to you, but that God has enabled between you. This is a time shortly before the death of Moses. Been a while since I've done it, but reviewing in history, this is after God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh. It's after man chose to fall by disobedience unto God and plunged the human race into sin and death. It's after a flood overflowed the earth. Moses found grace in the sight of God. God spared him and his family and enough of the air-breathing creatures on the earth to reestablish and replenish the earth after the flood. It's after the Tower of Babel when God confounded the languages so that they left off trying to make a name for themselves in the earth and overspread and replenish the earth again as he had commanded. It's after the life of Abraham, the friend of God, Isaac, the promised child, and Jacob, whose name meant a thief or supplanter, an impostor, but was changed by God to Israel, which means a prince with God. It's after Jacob's 12 sons, which became the 12 tribes of Israel, sold their brother Joseph into slavery in Egypt, but by God's providence, Joseph was raised to be the ruler of Egypt and saved not only the nation of Egypt, but saved his own family from 7 years of famine. It's after Israel, living in Egypt, became a great nation, very great multitude, and were enslaved by the Egyptians, who made their lives bitter with bondage. And so for a long time, they were in slavery. They dwelt over 400 years in the land of Egypt. It's after the time Moses was born, in a time when Pharaoh was having all the boy children of the Hebrews slain, and yet God spared Moses, and he was raised up in Pharaoh's house and spent 40 years as a prince of Egypt. But he found out that he was of the Hebrews and chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season in Egypt. And as a result, he slew a man and fled from the presence of Pharaoh and dwelt 40 more years in the wilderness of Midian, raising the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro, who was the father of Zipporah, his wife. And at the end of those 80 years, God called Moses and told him to go back into Egypt and stand before Pharaoh and say that God instructed Pharaoh to let his people go. And Pharaoh would not let the people go. And Moses, under the instruction of God, showed God signs and wonders in the presence of the Egyptians and the Hebrews alike. But God made a difference between the Egyptians and the Hebrews. None of those signs and wonders was for the purpose of freeing the children of Israel, but for showing God's great power until the last, which was for the purpose of freeing the children of Israel. And as the Passover night came by, the destroyer destroyed the firstborn of the people of Egypt. He passed over the houses of Israel, For God had instructed Moses that they were to take the blood of a lamb who didn't have a bone broken, without spot and without blemish. The blood of that lamb was to be smitten on the doorpost and lintels of every house of the Hebrews. And God caused the destroyer of the Egyptians to pass over the houses of Israel, and they went forth a free nation that night. God blessed them to walk through the Red Sea dry shod, and he swallowed up the horses and chariots of Pharaoh. He blessed the children of Israel to have bitter waters turned sweet and to eat bread that fell from heaven itself in the form of manna. He blessed them to go to Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb, where he gave them the Ten Commandments and spoke in their presence, and then called Moses up on the mountain to give them the civil law of ancient Israel and the ceremonial law of the worship of God in the tabernacle and the temple, and to give them the way that they should live. And after spending over a year at Mount Sinai, he led them with a pillar of fire by day and a pillar of cloud by night through the wilderness, the 11-day journey from Sinai to Canaan. And on the borders of Canaan, in unbelief, they refused to obey God, would not go into the land of Canaan, and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Only two of the men sent into Canaan advocated them obeying God and going into the land, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh. Both trusted in God, and they continued to live through the 40 years, but the rest of that generation of warriors died out. And the second generation arose, and after 40 years, God led them to the land east of Canaan, just east of the River Jordan, and gave them great victories over Arad, the king of the Canaanites, and Sihon, the king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan, and they had great victories. But by this time, Moses was 120 years old. Now, he was blessed at 120. His eye was not dim, and his natural force was not abated, but he was 120 years old, and God said for him to come on home. It was time for him to die. And before he died, God instructed him to pass the leadership of Israel on to Joshua. And so he gave Joshua a charge. And there, at this point in time, they're still east of Jordan, not in the land of Canaan yet. They're in the plains of Moab after these first three victories. Moses is about to go up on a hilltop and die, overlooking the land of Canaan. And he is speaking the law of God and telling the experiences of the children of Israel a second time to a new generation. So he is giving a second speaking of the law, which is what Deuteronomy means. It's a second giving of the law, same law. But Moses is speaking that, and he's giving a charge to Joshua, and he wants Joshua to adopt a certain way of living, a certain way of thinking. He wants Joshua to have a certain attitude. And this is partially spoken in these two verses. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. The attitude, the way of life that Joshua is to have is to be strong and of a good courage. And then Moses tells him that there's a task ahead of him. There's a responsibility that he's going to have to shoulder. That could even make it hard to be strong and of a good courage with that kind of a job ahead of you. But Moses doesn't just say, cheer up, Joshua, be strong and of good courage, and leave it at that. He gives Joshua a reason that it makes sense to be strong and of a good courage. You know, if I just stood before you and say, be positive, think positive, smile, be of good courage, be strong, be personally strong, develop your personal abilities, and I left it at that. Those are some good platitudes, but that's about all they are, is platitudes. It's do this. without any reason why it's needed or how you're going to do it, that kind of leaves you short. Now, if I can say, be strong and be of a good courage, and then say what Moses said to Joshua in verse 8, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. If I tell you the God that made everything and rules over everything is going to go before you, that's starting to get to some reason why you can, why some ability, some source that you can live that way. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. If I tell you the God that created the heavens and earth is going to be with you, he's not going to fail you, he's not going to leave you by yourself, all of a sudden it starts to make some sense why you can and should be strong and of a good courage. Now, at that point, it's in your court. You can choose not to believe that God is with you or goes before you or won't forsake you. You can listen to what the devil will say with, look what happened here in your life and here in your life and here in your life, and that's an evidence that God just forsook you. No, it isn't. It's kind of like that footprints in the sand. You may see one set, but it's because God's carrying you through. I mean, even Moses, he could have said that. He could have said, Lord, you just forsook me up there when I got mad and struck the rock. Why didn't you stop my hand from striking that rock? You just let me strike that rock. Now I can't go into Canaan. And the enemy's telling me you just forsook me, and I'll just take that as an evidence you forsook me. Moses knows better than that. He knows as he stands there that day looking into the eyes of Joshua and the multitudes of Israel on the borders of the land of Canaan, he never did forsake me. Even when I forsook him and he chastises me, he never, ever forsook me. He never failed me. He always went before me. And he will you too, Joshua. He'll go before you. Now, let me read some more scripture in connection with this. If I go down to verse 22 and 23, same chapter. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. He's speaking as in the position of God, that God would be with Joshua. Now flip over a few more pages to Joshua chapter 1. Start with the first verse. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, I'm going to go just a few verses down where the people speak to Joshua in verses 16, 17, and 18. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Now, if you had to put a title on this message, what Joshua heard from Moses, and then what Joshua heard directly from God, and then what Joshua heard from the people of Israel, what's the message? Be strong and of a good courage. Wow, Joshua must have thought, am I not getting this? You know? Moses told it to me three times. God spoke it to me three times. And now here everybody in Israel is telling me that. Do you ever need to hear that more than once? I do. Be strong and of a good courage. Why? Why? Why can you? How can you? Because I will not leave thee, neither forsake thee. I don't know about you. That's a battle in my life. Sometimes I want to curl up in a real tight ball and stay under the covers. You ever feel that way? I do, and it's more often than I care to admit. Maybe Joshua did too, I don't know. But I do know that he needed to hear that message, because a great responsibility devolved on him at this time. That's one of the occasions when I want to curl up so much. A great responsibility. Naturally speaking, in my fallen Marty Smith nature, I want to get out of every responsibility I can. I'm just that way. And it's not good. It's not good. One of those things that makes me tremble, makes me fear. It's a great responsibility. And I've never encountered one quite as great as Joshua, even though the one that is on me is significant. And the responsibility that's on you, unless you're very young at this time, is also significant. You've got great responsibilities. And so what I want to talk about is being strong and of a very good courage in times of great responsibility, or in times when you realize your own sin and mistakes, or in time when you realize that you've got a great enemy and someone is out to hurt you. So whether it's the job ahead, or the weakness within, or the struggle without, the opposition without, I want you to see a message that runs through the Bible. This one ought to be pretty clear. One, two, three times Moses says to Joshua, be strong and of a very good courage, for God will be with you. And then after Moses dies, God comes to Joshua and says, Moses, my servant's dead. Now you're the leader and I'll be with you just like I was with Moses. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and very courageous. And read the Bible every day. That's what God said. He said, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The Lord says, be strong and of a very good courage, and be strong and very courageous, and be strong and of a good courage, and read my word every day. Meditate on it. That's a good message to us. Well, how do we do that? It's obvious that the strength and the courage are going to have to come from God. Let's look at an example of when the children of Israel were feeling pretty far down because of their own sin. Now, sometimes a big responsibility comes on me and I just want to curl up and cover up. Sometimes I realize what a great sin I've committed. Thought, word, or deed, or things that I've left off, and I have. There's some terrible things. I just wish I could go undo them. And I can't. I can't do it. I can't pay for it. I can't. I can confess it. And that's a good thing. It helps. It's great healing in that, but I can't undo it. And the children of Israel ran into a situation like that, and they felt very sad. And they had a good leader at that time. And that leader let them know how they were going to go about being strong. This was in the days of Nehemiah. And they'd come back, and in great hardship, they had managed to rebuild the walls. And they wanted to hear the word of God, just like God had told Joshua hundreds of years ago. And so they all gathered out in Jerusalem with their new wall around them. And they stood there, and they had built Ezra, the scribe, a pulpit of wood to hold the words of the law. And Ezra was a ready scribe. He was a diligent teacher, and he stood up, and he was going to teach them. So he's going to start reading through the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And the other Levites were going to go out and give the sense of the words. Did you understand what Ezra just read? Well, understood most of it, except for what was all this about? And then the Levites would say, this is what it's about. So they were given the sense so that the people could understand. And they were spending a long time at this, and it began to sink in. Those people had been away from hearing the law for so long. You know, they were busy being captives out in Babylon or just trying to make a living back in Jerusalem, now building a wall with enemies round about them. All of that, they'd been, and they had kind of left off much of reading the Bible. And now here it's read. And now here it's read by a group of men that really want folks to understand it as much as possible. And so they're starting to understand it, and all of a sudden it hits them. Oh, no. Oh, no. And this is what happened. It says in Nehemiah chapter 8, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, that's the governor, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God, mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They realized what God desired of his people, and they realized how they had lived, and they contrasted the two, and they were greatly different, and they realized that the God who loved them and still loved them and enabled them to build this wall and be home again, that they had so greatly departed from him. So they wept. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our God. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink, and to send portions, and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Now this makes me think of a hymn we sing pretty often. Second verse. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour my soul believed. Now that's what happened here. They start reading through the law. All of a sudden the people understood that they hadn't kept the law. They were grieving. They were ashamed. They were distressed. They were mourning and crying. And Nehemiah stood up and said, wait a minute, said, you need to go on, go your way. That means go about your life. Eat the fat, that is, you enjoy God's provision, eat good food. Drink the sweet, that is, you be thankful and celebrate what God's given you. And send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. You live your life, you enjoy the goodness God gives you, and you be helpful and generous to others. That's what the governor's saying, because this day's holy unto God. And after that sunk in, they began to understand that God was not only a righteous God, he was a merciful God. Oh, you can see that in the cross, can't you? God's a righteous God. That's why his son is suffering such great torment as he hangs on the cross in the darkness. What would cause him to do such a thing? Righteous God was pouring out his wrath that was due to the sins of his chosen people. But what about the mercy? It was poured out on his only begotten Son rather than on us. Can you not see his righteousness and his mercy all gathered in perfection in the most powerful expression of all righteousness and mercy as our Lord Jesus is hanging there in the darkness? What righteousness! What righteousness! It will be paid for. The sin's going to be paid for by suffering, by death, separation from God and blood. It's going to be paid for as it must, as it should. But it's not you. It's not you paying. You're the beneficiary of that covenant. So here we see the righteousness and mercy of God. So where do you get strength? Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Your strength comes from the joy of God. Where you can get courage? Earlier in history, where David's family was carried off captive. Here we have captivity again. His wife and his children and all the wives and children of his men were carried off captive from the town of Ziklag by the Amalekites, the ancient enemy of Israel, who hadn't killed them yet, but they didn't know that. They were taking them off, I expect, to sell them as slaves. And everybody's heart was so grieved. And it was David who had led all his men up to be with the Philistines while the family was there in the town. And so it was his decision that when they came back, all the family was gone. All the men's wives, children, their families were gone. The city was burnt with fire.